words can't really describe how good he is to us, can it? We say that so often. And I tell you, we had quite a week in church family this week, kind of start off early in the week. Greg thought he was going to have eye surgery and went prepared for eye surgery and went up and did not do surgery. I'm going to try to handle that another way and maybe not have to do surgery. So pray for Greg's eye. We're all going to in a minute that God will restore and work and use that, prevent that surgery. And Tony Miller, which it happens so often these days, Tony had been having some chest pains, and he went over to the doctor. I thought he was going to have a stress test. It really wasn't even scheduled. On their plans, it was just a consultation. Doctor didn't like what he heard and was seeing, so they checked. Happened to be, a opening for a stress test, and got on the stress test. Didn't make it long, knew something was wrong. So the next Wednesday morning, went for a heart cath. And many times, most of the time, you go for a heart cath, and they come out and they tell you to eat better and exercise, or they find a little blockage, they put a stent in, and you go on. But Tony was just about to go to heaven. Amen. Just about to head out. Had major blockages and main artery that doctors say clearly if it closes, there's no coming back from it. So he ended up before the day was over, by about 10 o'clock on Wednesday night, he had open heart surgery and had 3 bypasses. But just pray, he has just done wonderful. I mean, he's just done wonderful. He's walked around the hallways and they keep taking more off and keep doing things and just pray. But long recovery with that. Amen. Comes a lot of recovery. Praise God for what he's done, but just continue to pray for him and his family. But maybe go home tomorrow. Not sure. The doctor's coming tomorrow, but just pray for his recovery and heart rhythm, blood pressure, all those type things that can go on. But we just pray for him. He's there away from us this morning and another family, and he are just praising him for his grace, mercy. He chose to let him serve him a few more days on this side of heaven. But I couldn't help, before we pray, just to remind all of us that are here and remind all of those that you're praying for and concerned about. As I said, Tony was just that close to having a major heart attack that probably would have. And the great thing about it is that Tony knows Jesus. He'd been absent from the world. He'd been in heaven. He'd been much better off than we are. Amen. But spiritually, there's so many that surround us in our world that are just that close to dying and going out in eternity without Jesus Christ and missing heaven to go into hell. And just really re-reminded me how the urgency and the compassion and passion and the fervor we need to have to make that clear and share that, amen? Because like in Tony's case, he didn't know that was going on. And so often, those people we work with, even people in your family, and people that go to church just don't realize how close they are to missing Jesus. Well, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that your hand would touch and just touch Greg's eyes in a special way. Thank you for the doctors, what they're doing. Pray that they might be able to treat, Lord, his difficulty, Lord, without surgery, and just protect his sight, restore sight, touch him as only you can, Lord. Lord, we're just so thankful for Tony. For along the way, the doctors, the nurses, everybody that's worked with him for the surgery, we pray you touch his heart, that you would just restore him and strengthen him and give him patience and a peace for the recovery time. Be with his family as they take on a caregiving role, as they're back and forth to the hospital now, and as there'll be needs when he gets home. Lord, we pray for Dex. Lord, I thank you for those that went to support, for Jessica sharing her heart, Lord. Just what a testimony he has, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for that cancer, Lord, that you would touch and that you would be thy will, that you'd heal his body, that you'd restore him. Thank you for the strong witness as his light shines brightly for you. And thank you for those who gave and helped last evening. And pray for the church family. Pray for Dex, Lord, in a special way. And most of all, Lord, we are so thankful you are so good to us. Your grace, your mercy, your love, your forgiveness. And Lord, I pray for maybe one here today who spiritually is just on the edge, Lord, of just missing Jesus, that they see the light of Jesus today, bring that change. Lord, I pray, I really believe that everything that happens in our lives and in our church, our families, and that everything we know and see, Lord, you desire for it to bring a change in our lives, a closer walk, a more urgency, Lord, for the task at hand to share the gospel with the lost and dying world. So, Lord, help us to be encouraged and thankful for what you've done, but changed and transformed, Lord, in focusing more clearly on what it is that you want us to be about. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis 1:1. I can hear somebody saying, praise the Lord, preacher. Glad we're not going to Deuteronomy or Leviticus or Numbers. I can find Genesis 1:1. We began this new year in January 1 in Genesis. We're going to go back and then jump over some scriptures. But if you'd stand with me, if you found your place there in Genesis 1:1. And as we read these verses this morning, think about, we've been talking about the power of God. This morning, I want to look in Scripture about the power of His light. The power of His light. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then, look in verse 3, it says, And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Dear God, we thank You for that light that You spoke into being. That, Lord, just all the things, Lord, that light brings into our physical lives. And then, spiritually speaking, what the light of Jesus and us to be lights for the world means. And, Lord, I pray that You bring all that together this morning. Lord, that You would focus Your spiritual light in the depths of our heart and our minds and illuminate sin and Lord, shine Your light on things that You want to be transformed. And Lord, shine Your light and Lord, leave a lasting impression through our time together this morning that we might go out with our light shining brighter for You. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So we've been talking about for these Sundays in January about the power of God. Made that statement early on. I say it often. Statement being that, you know, I've seen the power of man and what that power can do. Oh, how long, though, to see the power of God working. And we looked that very first Sunday of the year about the idea that in Genesis 1:1, where it's talking about in the beginning God created, it's a revealing. It's a revealing of who God is. And a revealing of His power. And there's just, it still overwhelms me to think about the power that we see around us and all that He creates. And then He continues to create life and new life, a new grandbaby, babies on the way in the church, and just that creation power that is still coming, that He's given us the breath of life, and He's given us each heartbeat, and the power He has to suspend the earth in the air, and the sun is a consuming fire, but it never burns up. So it's just all this power surrounding us. And the whole idea that God wants to in His word in our lives, He wants to reveal that power in our lives personally. He wants us to experience that power, and we often have weak times. Amen. That was one of Tony's testimonies. We got in the hospital even before he was having a heart cath. He was kind of recounting those symptoms that had brought him there, and he said, you know, preacher, been having some pain for a few months and energy level. He said, you know, I didn't even go in the back steps of the church heading upstairs. And I could tell there was some difference going on. So we all have physical things happen in our lives. Amen. You may be experiencing something now just physically. Maybe it's something with your back or some muscle or some strain. Could be you're dealing with heart issue. You're taking medication. Could be battling with cancer. So there's so many things that affects our physical power to go and do the things we want to and need to. But just there's a parallel throughout the spiritual world that we live amongst that we forget about, amen? That we need to be reminded of that there's this spiritual power, this power of God that He wants to work through us. We're going to look at this idea between the physical light we see that God created and then the light that we have through Jesus and light spiritually. And one thing is evident, the spiritual light that we have, you can be very physically weak. Or somebody could even be completely blind. There's a commercial now that even talks about, it's been on lately, it's a military man who has completely gone blind. You have to understand, there's a lot of levels of blindness, amen? When someone is blind, it takes a lot of levels and you can see things in images, but to be completely blind, to be in darkness, has this major effect on the body. But I'm telling you, somebody who's physically blind and can't see this light that God created for us, if they knew Jesus Christ, really can see more light than anybody else that doesn't know Jesus. Amen? So we're going to compare those two today. When you look here in verse 3, you find something that I really had never thought about. It's very obvious, I guess, but I never heard it really stated this way or be reminded. But when we see in verse 3, it says, "And God said," that's the first recorded words that we have in Scripture of God speaking. Begins in the first two verses of what's going on and God is doing. But here in verse 3, think about that, the first recorded words of what God says. I long to hear more of what God says. Amen? Don't you just long actually to hear? I mean, we hear so much that other people say, and now we don't even have to what we physically encounter and we personally experience and being with people and hearing them. But I mean, you constantly during the day, you can hear through social media and you can pick up, listen to the radio and the TV, go online, and we hear what people say, amen? And then people hear what somebody says, and then invariably we're repeating it, amen? Oh, did you hear what so-and-so said? Did you hear what they said? So how I longed to be, this was just a reminder for me, man, to hear early in the morning, to have the first words maybe we hear be a word from God. What's God say about today? What's God say about what's going on? But these were the first words, and he commanded that light would shine. Now, the most interesting things we're going to jump into this morning is this. We find here that he is, look what he says. He says, "Let there be light," and there was light. But you've got to go on down in Genesis, no, to later chapters, or to where the sun is being created. So there's a difference here. So when he said, "Let there be light," this was long before the sun ever came to shine. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But he was commanding light to shine. He was really lighting, filling the world that he was creating with light. And I was reminded that on this first day, think about when he created light. It gave us the ability to see all the things he had created. It really makes my heart, I think about what would it be like to be physically blind, to never see anything. You hear such powerful testimonies of people throughout history who didn't have eyesight, but they say, you know, when you don't have your eyesight, when you can't see, that your other senses become heightened. They become more special, more sensitive to what's going on. But to think about not being able to see all the beauty of his creation, not to be able to see your loved ones, not to be able to see anything. But the parallel to that is when God created light, immediately God's idea about light came from that he is, him and his son, they're the light of the world, and the spiritual important light's what's most important. I really believe that God has people, we'd be far better to be able to spend more time with someone that's physically blind, maybe to be with them personally or to read about them, study about them, to understand that God uses those people to let us know just how important the spiritual light is in our lives. We really take the light that he created for granted, don't we? Amen? I mean, you know, in the morning, it's going to be light. Even if you can't see the sun, if the sun's behind the clouds, it's going to lighten up. And really, it's proven scientifically that light coming is what really wakes you up. It gets you up. And as it goes down, it takes our body. It's a trigger for our bodies to go to sleep. And so it's really amazing how we take for granted what light does. And how often as I studied, I realized things I never thought about, things that light does. So when God created light, there was a lot going on. Very strange things happen when you don't have light. In 1965, they took a man and a woman and they put them in a cave, okay? In a separate places in a cave, and they were going to see and experience what would it be like to live. What would happen if you didn't have natural light? Now, they had artificial light, but they had no way of knowing what the light and the darkness as it changed out in the world was going to be. One of them made it 88 days and the other one made it 126 days. And during that time, their minds were so affected by not having the natural light of the world that they lost all track. They lost time. They lost weeks and times. They didn't really understand what really the days were or how long they had been there. They found that during those days without having that light that God created, that they would literally lay down and sometimes sleep 30 hours and wake up and thought they had just taken a short nap. They did other studies and they could have people that literally would sleep for 48 hours without waking. Now, some of y'all say, I'd like to have me some of that. I'd like to catch up on some sleep. But literally, that was the effect and the power that light was having on them. their emotions would get out of control. They would sing at times and be joyful. At times they'd break into crying. And many of them, in one test, they just really went a 48-hour period with people, and they immediately during that time began to think that they had been tricked. They'd been left, that no one was coming back. Hallucinations would come. And so we find, and what was happening there is there's this power and something going on with light that maybe we fully can't comprehend and understand. Amen? And I began to think about the spiritual comparisons of that. And we're going to look today about Jesus being that light of the world that comes in. When Jesus lives inside of us, we have this spiritual light. And you begin to think about the parallel when people are going, people that don't have that spiritual light, when they're living in spiritual darkness, what happens is they're losing track of time. Amen? Just like that man and woman who lost track and thought, you know, they lost months and weeks, and that's what's happened. When you live in spiritual darkness, people may be going to work, having a family, going through all the same routines as what knows Jesus, but they're losing all this time. They don't even aren't aware spiritually what's going on because of the darkness they live. It said, remember it said that they would sleep for long periods of time and not even realize, thought they're taking a nap, and that's what happens spiritually. And really, it helps to, when we're understanding this light of God and the power of His light, not only physically but spiritually, it really helps you understand how to deal with people that are in spiritual darkness, people that don't know Jesus Christ, or people that have begun to walk a guilty distance. I mean, y'all, darkness is dark. Amen? Amen. Darkness is dark. And when you're walking in spiritual darkness, you can't see things and you can't understand things that anyone that is walking in the light of Jesus and the illumination of God's Word can. We often say, I don't understand why they do that. I don't understand why they won't stop doing that. And the real answer is this power of light, the light that God created. We need that light. It just does so much in our lives. I read this statement from John Phillips, a great preacher, man of God, wrote commentaries. And I read this. Let me give you the statement, then we'll let you know what I began to think. I read this. He said, nobody, even today, can tell us what light is. I thought that's kind of interesting. He said, nobody can tell us what light is. We know what light does, but we don't know what light is. It's a real mysterious thing. So as soon as I read that, as I'm studying, I know how preachers can be. I mean, y'all right? I know how preachers can be. We can get to preaching, and we can get excited, and we can make different statements. Whenever we live in a world where information can get so distorted, amen? You know, believe me, just because you Google it and you get something, that don't mean it's the truth, okay, y'all right? There's a good commercial about that. But, you know, so I'll read something, and my question is that really true? In fact, Hilton, I'm thinking, well, yeah, well, I'm sure there's a scientific explanation of what light is. He's making a generalization about light, you know. But to understand it better, I said, I'm going to study that a little bit. I can't wait to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Because he's right. Nobody today even really knows what light is. Isn't that kind of interesting? We know what the physical light he created is. Studies have been proven that really the sun in itself is even a dark body, and it's these reactions that are going on the surfaces around it that's causing the sunlight. And remember, though, here we're reading verse 3, the sun has not even been created, and God has created light. So I went to Webster's dictionary, and in the narration, the very first definition for light that Webster gives is this: something that makes vision possible. Don't you love that? Something. It just says it's something that makes light vision possible. It's a sensation that arouses their visual receptors. And then the third thing down, it talks about these electromagnetic waves. And that was beyond me. I read another definition that said light is the natural agent. Don't you like that? A natural agent. I mean, the world in which it tries to define things scientifically, it will go all around mentioning God's name. Amen? But another definition you look says it's a natural agent that stimulates sight. And as I studied, it's interesting what you find is there's always theories. Amen, Stacy? There's one of the first ones was the wave theory about light, and then other scientists had the electromagnetic theory, and then there was quantum theory. But here's a statement I read in a scientific reference that said this about this. It said, but it's actually something that cannot be fully imagined. So the greatest scientists in the world, they don't know what light is. They know what it does, but they don't know what it is. Y'all think about that on the spiritual level. What God is trying to use through the physical light that we need and impact our lives, so he's trying to point us, continually point us to the spiritual light, and knowing that no one in the world, the smartest people in the world, the greatest scientists, the person who has lived the longest, seems to know the most, they cannot understand the light of Jesus Christ apart from experiencing that light. Amen. We can't tell what light is, but boy, we can experience it and we can know what it is and what it does, right? The same with Jesus Christ. And Paul, Saul, he mentions this creative act of God in describing what happens in the light of salvation. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:6. I want you to see this. We'll go to 2 Corinthians and go back to John. But Paul, God is using Paul to show us, to wake us up and make the connection between physical light and the spiritual light that we're talking about this morning. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look in verse 6. He says it very clearly. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So Paul makes that connection. He's going back to that very Genesis 1, chapter 3. God is speaking. God is talking this light. And he said, listen, the same God who had that power to command that the light would just appear and shine out of the darkness of the world is the same one who has shined a spiritual light into our hearts. And when he shines that spiritual light, it says it gives the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So now once again, remember I said the explanation, you need to understand when you're talking, when you're witnessing to people, when you're loving on people, you want to share Jesus, when you want people to experience that spiritual light that you're experiencing with God, you need to understand that you're going to need the power, that same power that God created the physical light, because he is the only one that can shine a spiritual light into a dark heart. We need to be careful what we say. You know, I just don't understand why they continue to live that way. Why they make those choices, what's going on. And the answer is the light is not shining in. And the only one has the power to shine the light is God. I wish I had that power. Right now, for everyone here, beginning with me, and everyone that I could shine a light into someone's heart and reveal what is wrong and what sin is there. I can't do that. You can't do that. Nobody can do that. But God is the only one who has that power. Oh, how we try. Amen, Dickie, how we try. We keep with words, with getting angry, doing all we can to shine some light. So one reminder for this passage this morning is just like you can't make light appear in the morning. Amen. Just because you can't do anything with physical light to have it and make it created. Only God has the power to create the spiritual light. So when he made us, the Bible says he made us a new creation, okay? And one of the first things that happens, Paul is pointing the picture, is that our soul becomes enlightened. We get an understanding. In 1 John 5:20, the Bible says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ." This is the true God and eternal life. Man, if there's ever been a time in the world that we live in that we are desperate for this shining light, for this truth, that's God's intent. That's my prayer for all of us, that we just as powerful. And remember, I shared with you the physical things that happens with that light. Well, listen, when we get to walk in the guilty distance, we're away from the Word of God. When we're not constantly in his Word and in prayer and serving him, involved in church and involved in focusing on, what happens is you're retreating. Hey, listen, you're retreating into the darkness. It's not, listen, when you got the Holy Spirit, you got all the Holy Spirit God's going to ever give you. The light is there, but what we can do is we can ignore the light, and we'll see that in scripture in just a minute. So turn to John with me. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible is speaking in John chapter 1 about Jesus and him being that light. Read it with me. John 1, beginning in verse 1. So this, we've been kind of looking at the power of his light. Well, this is the power of the light of Jesus Christ. Read it with me, John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, who dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when it begins to paint a picture in verse 4, look at verse 4, the light of men. Jesus is coming. He's that Word made flesh. He's that true light. He's that light that when our hearts and our souls are living in darkness and we live in a dark world that the Bible says that Satan's the prince of, that there's a light that comes in. There's no light. There's no way to explain it. Just like scientists can't give you a definition of what light really is. I mean, it's hard for us to even really define and understand what this light is. But one thing about it, just as I know there's light in this room, there's light when I woke up this morning, I know that the light of Jesus is real. Amen. And I know that it makes all the difference in the world. So the painting picture is Jesus brings us light. And it's the power of his light. And so I can sum up every message from this month. The whole idea of the power of God, the only way we can experience the power of God is let his light shine so in our minds and our hearts and lives that nothing else has the power that it does. But too often, hey, listen, we want to control the light. I've said this before over the years. I love lights, okay? I mean, I'm looking for the next most powerful flashlight. You know, I get that 100 lumen one. You walk in, they got a 400 lumen one. You look at, I can't afford it, but they got a 1,000 one over here. You know, got a spotlight. I mean, I love lights, okay? I just always have loved lights and always looking for a brighter light. But that's so often, listen, that's what people in this world that are living in darkness without Jesus Christ, they're continually looking for some type light. You know, the money light. You know, if I can, the more money I've got, the more money light I've got, the more I can see and do and experience. There's the health light. You know, man, I tell you, I would dare say, maybe about, there's a few that have already accomplished it, but every one of us could use eating better, exercising more, taking better care of our body. Amen. All of us could use doing that. But I'm telling you, some people, and there's people that have been runners and ate perfect and everything, they've dropped dead of heart attacks too, okay? Amen? But people want physical things. People want power. There's all these different lights the world has to offer, but none of them are real. They're all artificial. Paul, in describing that light, reminds me of a passage in John. In 1 John, listen to these words in 1 John. In 1 John, chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, then this is the message which we heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light that he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, and he is faithful just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It reminds me of a statement I said earlier, somebody that's physically blind, but has the spiritual light of Jesus Christ in their hearts, can see far more and can see things that someone that has perfect eyesight, but does not know Jesus or does not desire to have his light to make an impact. You know, it says back there in Genesis, after verse 3, it mentions how, a very simple statement, it says that God divided the light from the darkness. And when God did that, the symbolism, the importance of what God's doing is so striking, because it wasn't just to give us light to work in the light of the day and darkness to sleep, which that is his design. And bless all of you that work different shifts and the world has got you off schedule. That probably wasn't God's design. Amen. Some of you at work, ever work all night on different shifts, or your job takes you through. But the natural thing that God gave us was that, but that's not even the important. The real desire, the separation that he gives us was pointing to a spiritual thing we need to understand. 1 John 1:7 said, if we walk in the light, as he in the light, we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's walking in that light so we can understand, we can see our sin. You know, the best way, I was joking in Sunday school, somebody was mentioning we were having a heyday with insurance and drugs and how it's affecting so many of you. You know, the insurance company says you can't have a drug, and so if you want it, you got to pay the price. And Tim even had this was affecting his heart to the point it could have had a heart attack because of medication. So in Sunday school, and we're just kind of, Scott gave us a little time to vent, I guess, before we prayed about it. And I made the statement, I saw, I said, oh, wait a minute, I know what we need to do, Sherry. We need to go protest. Amen? We'll go protest. But I heard a statement this week. I said, here's the problem. Well, that, when you see people protesting, you know, the question is, where's the praying? There should be a whole lot more praying than there is protesting. And I made a personal observation. Every time I get on my knees to pray, hey, God shows, God's light, the power of God's light so shines in and reveals my sin, my things I'm doing that I shouldn't do and things that I need to be doing that I'm not. Hey, it'd be very hard for me to go out and protest anything because he's already protesting my own life to me. Amen? The statement I read was, be interesting if there was more prayer going on, how the protesting numbers might change. But Ephesians kind of clears it up for us when it says in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. It talks about the darkness of this world. Y'all, we live in a dark world. Did you understand that? We live in a dark world, but we don't think about it. And we're so consumed with the natural light, the days, the nights, and all that goes around. God is content. Listen, what God wants to remind us, listen, the spiritual world that's happening around us is far more important, far more powerful, and far more to be focused on than physically. And we just don't do it. We focus on our physical bodies, on what accomplishing a day, what we're going to do this night. And God is continually crying out that we're missing the simplicity. When he created light, it was far more important that we be seeing through that light the need for a spiritual light. And that the darkness that we see in the night, and some of you may say, and you wouldn't even maybe admit it now, you just don't like the dark. Children are afraid of the dark. I'm not crazy about the dark. I did yesterday, I walked from our house to the woods to the creek behind my mama's house all the way down and have a good time. Last night at 1 a.m., I'm not going, y'all all right? And I have the most powerful flashlight I have. I'm just not going, okay? I'm not scared, you know, or anything, but just not going. But in John chapter 3, look there with me. We were at John 1. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 19. And we'll end with this morning. Because it explains so much about our world, about us, and about others. John 3 and verse 19, beginning, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Look there again in verse 19. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know, I've said it often. We hear that word evil, and we want to reserve that word evil for, you know, murderers and rapists and the worst evil in the world. And when God uses that word, he's using it to mean any sin in our life, anything. And the Bible is saying, here's the problem. He said, I had the power to create this great light, separate it from darkness, do all that you see in spirits. You can't even live and have a normal life without the physical light. He said, I showed that so you'd be pointed to me, and then you'd find my son, Jesus Christ. And then God sits in heaven today, and he says, but the problem with you and I and the world is that we love darkness rather than light. Now, preacher, wait a minute. I don't know about that. I think God's right, don't y'all? I challenge you this week to spend some time today and tomorrow and through the week and things that are kind of, if you be honest, are kind of darkness. You know, some of that stuff you listen to or look at online, or some of those jokes at work, or some of those kind of shortcuts at work, school. I think God's right. And we live in a world that's in darkness. So very simply, they love the darkness. And what they want to do to all of us Miss Linda, is bring us back in the darkness. Isn't it interesting how the day, I'll never forget, some years ago, I had drove to the eastern part of the state to go to something. And we had eaten, and it was toward the spring, summertime, the days were long, and we had finished eating, and I was headed back home. Beautiful, clear day, and the sun was setting in the west. And I noticed how amazing it was that I looked behind me, and the darkness was coming. As I drove along kind of that straight path up 74, Mike, you know, and I kept looking, and I'm like, you know, and the light is dimming in front of me. And you're always focused a lot of times where we're going, amen, not where we've been. And I kept, for some reason, God got my attention. I kept looking in the rearview mirror, and I'm like, man, it is getting dark. The darkness is coming. When any time the sun, S-O-N, is getting farther from us, just get busy. Don't have time to read your Bible, don't have time to pray, don't have time to get to church, don't have time to serve. The farther the sun gets away. And you know, often we're aware of that, right? You know, we look and we say, well, man, I'm just not where I once was, and I got to get back closer. And we're looking and we realize the sun is kind of farther from us than we wanted to be, but we don't often look back of the darkness that's coming. So often with all of us adults, children included, the darkness is coming. And you're surrounded by people who love the darkness. And they want to grab you back in the darkness. Amen. Would you bow with me? Lord, I thank you for the light. For the light of Jesus. For the physical light you created. For your power. But Lord, I pray for that one right now that's here, that's living in that spiritual darkness. If there's never been a day and a place where you invited Jesus Christ into your heart, what's that look like, preacher? Well, when the light comes in, the Bible says you're a new creation, new person. You love his word. You love to share him. You love to serve him. Life's totally different. If you've never had that, you're living in darkness. Say, preacher, I don't. What do you mean darkness? I'm not a bad person. No, he didn't say that. What he says is, I created physical light in physical darkness so you could see spiritually that it's possible to live in this world and have light but not have spiritual light. Well, we're going to sing in a moment, and I challenge you to come and give your heart to Jesus. How about it, Christian? Where's the sun at in your life? Shining brightly like the noontime, the center of your life? Or has it kind of got a little dim? Maybe you find yourself in some darkness. You want to turn back to Jesus. And maybe God's brought you to this church. He wants you to be a part of this family. In obedience to him, you want to make that commitment to him and become part of the church. Whatever the need is, This is the invitation we pray from God, not from us, not from me or this church or Jessica, okay, but from God, to let his light shine a little brighter in some area of your life. I challenge you, come to the altar and just ask him to shine his light and see what he reveals. He's faithful. And then let him help you deal with it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join me and turn to page 479, Softly and Tenderly.